have your Bibles this morning. I want you to, we're going to look at one word today primarily and branch out from there. Second word in verse 11. Wherefore, remember. Remember. Today is Memorial Day. Tomorrow, rather. Today, Sunday, we usually celebrate Memorial Day by the choir and the orchestra will play the actual hymn or the actual song of each one of the military, the Coast Guard, the Marines, the Navy, etc. And then we stand to recognize them. It's a day of memory. This word memory here, the original word means to exercise your thinking. To exercise your memory. It means to go back and try to recall the things that we ought to. And so today I'd like to encourage you to recall three different things that we ought to remember today. I want you to notice this word, remember. All of us use it quite regularly. Son, did you remember to carry out the trash? Oh, I remembered I got to go to the store. Oh, I remember I got to do this, I got to do that. All of us use the word remember a lot. I went through Scripture. I want to draw your attention. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Peter chapter 1 says, four different times, remember. Put them in remembrance. Remind them. Paul is trying to get them to, Peter's trying to get them to understand that, look, one of these days you're going to stand before God. So prepare today, begin to live right. So he said, add to your faith. And he goes through all these different things, seven different things we add to our lives. He said, wherefore, remember that one of these days you'll see the Lord. And then I'm reminded of this passage. We're going to come back to it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember. Now, we're going to come to that in just a minute. Before we do, I'd remind you of one other thing to sort of help us with that. If you'll notice, the wherefore in verse 11 always references something previous. So when you go back in Scripture, if you look in verse 1, and you, sinners, hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins. So he said, remember that. I think it's a bad thing if we don't remember that we were once sinners. I think it's a bad thing. And let me tell you why. If you recall, if you can remember back to Luke chapter 16, the Bible says, and in hell the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And, you know, would you send Lazarus to tell, I mean, would you send this one to tell my loved ones, my five brothers? He said, son, remember. So I want you to notice that Abraham says to the rich man, son, remember that when you were on earth, thou receivest thou good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Remember. See, you know what he's told? Remember the things that you did in this life. Can you imagine one of the horrors of hell is the memory of all that you did to send you there? Remember. And so now let's, with that thought in mind, look in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom, verse 3, also we all had our conversation, our lifestyles, in times past in the lust of our flesh. Remember that. Don't dwell on it, just remember it. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Remember where you were. And were by nature the children of wrath, the wrath of God, even as others. So remember back. Now, let me just pause for a minute. Remember, number one, The people have sacrificed to get you where you are. Well, that would be the military today. Did you know that there are 58,220 names on the wall of the Vietnam Memorial? Men that went, didn't come home. Well, to remember that. I think those men that were in Vietnam got a really bad rap when they came home. Well, to remember, they did what their country asked them to do. You think about, go back a little bit further, World War II. 416,500 didn't come home. Now, you begin to think about those numbers. We have shut the whole world down, all of our country down, and so far about 100,000 have died of this pandemic. Can you imagine 400, four times that? And that doesn't include the injured. The hundreds of thousands that were injured. Casualties. We owe a debt to those men and women that are in the service. The sacrifice that they pay when they go into the service. They're told where to live. They're told where to go. They give up their rights to make choices in their life, to serve their country, to serve you and I. We ought to remember them. We ought to be able to have respect for them. And I'm grateful that our nation, for the most part, does remember those in the military and respect them. I'm grateful when you go to various places and they say the military can park here. I noticed before that is the pregnant women can park here. And that's always that you get your priorities right. That's good. But you can park here and then the military here. I'm grateful when you go in and they say we'll give a 5% discount to the military. Because they don't, their wages are limited. But they're just like our Christian school staff. We try our best to do good by them. But it's the same way with the military. Let's remember them. Remember them and think back of their sacrifices to us. I know this. It is a sacrifice to be in the military, especially if you're called up. My father was in the Korean War. When he came home, I was too young to know it. When he came home, he just talked about it. That's all I knew about. And so it was just something that my dad referenced, but almost never did he reference it. It was a bad memory to him. And so when I would say, hey, Dad, let's go camping out, he said, I've done that, son. I'm not doing it anymore. Sorry. I dwelt in the last tent I'm going to be in by choice. So he was in a tent, Korea, never again. So my dad saw children over there that had nothing. So when he came home, it changed him two ways. Number one, he didn't want any part of the outdoors. Two, so my dad liked air-conditioned cars, air-conditioned houses, and conveniences of life. He just was tired of living in a tent and said, and he never went back to it. He never went back at all with that concept in mind. We never went on a camping trip. We never went out in the country like that. We just didn't because of my dad's experience in Korea. And then, you know, my dad, when he got done with Korea, I mean, he was done with camping out, but it affected him because he didn't want his sons to have nothing like the children he saw in Korea that were left over. So you know what he did? He said, you're not going to go without. So my dad purposed in his heart to build a business, to make a lot of money. He did all those things. But you know, I'm reminded that he paid a heavy price for that. And there are a lot of military people come back with mental issues about fears. We had a man in our church that was in the military and he and his wife split up. Sweet lady, fine man, but they split up because he woke up one night and he had her by the throat and was choking her during the middle of the night. And she said, honey, it's me, I'm your wife. And he let her go. It so scared her, she divorced him. The horrors of war. Had two little girls. I'll never forget the sadness in both of their hearts. He couldn't fix it and she couldn't live with it. Can you imagine a price like that? Remember our military. But also, remember our medical personnel. I mean, today of all days, we could all remember the goodness of the medical personnel. I mean, the doctors and the nurses that are fighting this virus, and the people go in. Aren't you glad that if you get the virus, you go to the hospital, everybody doesn't say, just get over in the corner and die. I mean, they put themselves in harm's way. So I just remind you that we ought to be grateful for the medical personnel. I know this. When Susan lost her leg and I was going to build a house for her that was where she could get around in it, the Lord provided a piece of property that was closer to the hospital. And the time it would take for 911 to get there was about 6-7 minutes. And I bought that lot, and I bought the lot beside, we had that lot, and that's where we built the house. And I cannot tell you the number of times I had to call 911 to come revive my wife because she had gone too low with her blood sugar. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, put my hand on her, and she was all clammy. I'd jump out of bed. I knew what it was. If it was too late, she had been that way for a couple hours. Then I couldn't revive her back. I'd give her the shot, couldn't get her back. End result was I'd call 911. They would come, give her an IV, bring her back. And I remember whenever they would leave, I'd say, guys, thank you. Thank you. I was terrified when they came, relieved when they left. And they said, looked at me in each one, and they'd say, it's our job. Anytime. I said, wow, what a country we live in. And every time Susan and I would go to Uganda, and we'd get on that plane, fly out of this country, and go to Entebbe and get in the car and truck with them and drive up to Soroti another 6-7 hours, and we'd get there. I was reminded there's no 911. So I would take all the shots I could. I would be very careful. I checked her all the time to make sure I could catch it before she got too low. And she'd start going low over there, and I would remind her, there's no medical help here. You ought to be grateful. The doctors and nurses, the medical help. Remember where we would be without that. I've had the unique privilege, if you call it, of being in that Uganda, Northern Africa, and my wife starting to go low, and the terror that filled my heart. What if I can't? What if the shot doesn't work? And so medical personnel are invaluable. I've been to the hospitals after a severe accident, and everybody's hustling around taking care of people, bringing them back. What price do you put on that? We ought to be grateful today and take a little time during this Memorial Day to remember those people. They spent extra time studying, extra time in college, extra time, and then now they have extra risk involved and take care of us. There's a lot to remember and say thank you to the medical personnel. And then your moms and dads. I think graduation was sweet because the valedictorian and the salutatorian both referenced their parents and said, I've got the greatest parents in the world. I'm so thankful for my mom and dad and for their sacrifice. It ought not to be that parents are just remembered on graduation day. They ought to be remembered regularly. Mom, Dad, thank you. Mom, Dad, thank you for this meal. Mom, Dad, thank you for my room. Mom, Dad, I'm thankful that you've taken such good care of me. Mom, Dad, thank you. I'm reminded that all of us in this room, if we're not careful, there's a great lesson in the 10 lepers that all of us can learn. If someone receives such a gift of a new lease on life and they wouldn't even take time to turn back to the one that healed them and say, thank you, 9 out of the 10 wouldn't. That's our nature. We have to be so careful to remember what our fathers and mothers have done for us, what our moms have sacrificed for us. So today, let me urge you, tell your mom, Mom, I want to thank you. I appreciate you. Mom, I want to tell you, thank you for what you've done. Dad, I want to tell you, thank you for what you've done. Dad, I know you've worked hard. I know you guys have sacrificed so that we could have a nice home and I could go to college and all the different things. Oh, Mom, Dad, thank you. And so I'm reminded of I'm thinking back and remember the people that have been good to you, the people that have helped take care of you. But I want to take just a minute and go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and remember the person that's paid the debt of our sin. Look, if you would, in verse number 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, among whom also we all had our conversation. We were all in the same boat, everybody on the face of the earth. Notice, if you would, in verse 12, the last phrase, having no hope and without God in the world. That was all of us. Well, notice verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, while we were still desiring things we ought not to have, while we were still fulfilling the desires of the things we ought not to have. In other words, we wanted things that were wrong, and we did things that were wrong. And then you'll notice, things that were wrong in the flesh that we did with our hands and feet, and we did things in our minds that no one could see. Everybody in this room, he said, we're all in the same boat. You've all had the same nasty thoughts, dirty thoughts. You've already had the same mean thoughts. Every one of us have had a payback thought. I'd just like to pay that person back. I'd just like to, you know, that's not fair. This isn't fair. All of those things, when the Lord Jesus said, love those that despitefully use you and do good to them, we've all had this passage in our hearts and minds. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Romans chapter 5 says, Christ died for us. You ought to remember that. There was nothing good that God saw in you and me and said, oh, Dave Pittman, I need to go pay his debt of sin. There was nothing that attracted God to us except he just loved us. And I don't know why. I cannot tell you, for God so loved the world, but I don't know why. There is no good reason. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, and all of our righteousnesses, all of our good deeds, everything we've ever done, sing and give money, all those things, all of our righteousnesses, when done to get to heaven, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Yesterday, I washed my car, my truck, and I was out there washing it, and you know, I was trying to find a rag to clean the windshield with, and I looked over there, and there's the rag. I had these blue sort of cameo claws, and I looked at it, and apparently I had cleaned the wheel with it earlier, and I didn't wash it, and so I put it back up, and I looked at it, and I said, ugh, I can't use that. I'm reminded, when I see a dirty rag, many times it jumps in the back of my mind, that was you, Dave Pittman. When I see an old dirty rag, I'm reminded, all of our righteousness says, I was 14 when I got saved. I had put on a front up until that time. Didn't realize it, but I really didn't just have a relationship with the Lord. And then when I did realize it, I realized all those times that I did things for the Lord, tried to impress him, were as filthy rags. And anything that you do to impress the Lord to get to heaven, filthy rags. There's only one thing he wants from you and I, and that is this. Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I repent of my sin. Would you take your payment on the cross and apply it to my debt of sin? Notice, if you would, in verse number four, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. So remember, if you would, verse number 11, wherefore remember. Wherefore remember what? Remember you were dead in your sins, and remember God loved you with a great love. Do you understand the rich man's in hell tonight? And he can remember all of his sins, all of his unrighteousnesses, but he can't help it now. It's too late. You and I can. That's the reason Ephesians 6 says, hey, remember there was a time when you were sinners, when you were desiring your own lust, and when you did fulfill your own lust in flesh and mind, and you were under the wrath of God. But God, with his great love, notice if you would, verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now, you think of that, dead in sins. When you're dead, you have no feelings. You have no hope. Jesus said, I love you when you're dead in sins. And you'll notice if you would, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now notice, if you would, in this passage, that in the ages to come, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. I'm reminded you to think back on Jesus this morning. Please, think back on him this morning. Oh, I want you to think about the first responders, the people who have come and helped you when you call 911, if you've ever called them. Or think about the military when you go to Arlington Cemetery and see the 400 and some odd thousand names and gravestones there on that 624 acres. You remind yourself there was a price to be paid. But take all of that and throw it away and think about what happened if Jesus hadn't come. All of us would have died and gone to hell without hope. So he said, wherefore, remember. And so lest we get the big head on thinking we are somebody, he writes this, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Hey guys, we didn't do anything to get it. No child ever did anything to impress the Lord. You'll notice he says, it's a gift of God. Now, why is it a gift of God? So God knew the nature of man, and when he designed salvation itself, it's amazing to me that he even thought about our boastfulness. And he said, if I let them have any part in their salvation, they're going to brag about it. So verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the sole reason that's listed why you and I can do nothing to help God save us. It's totally a gift. And folks, today, that's the reason why if you go to a different church, or if you have family of a different church, a different denomination that has any part of sacraments, a sacrament is by definition something you do to gain the favor of God in order to help you get saved and get to heaven. That's the definition of a sacrament. There are no sacraments that man can do. Jesus Christ paid the debt, all of it. Remember that. Remember the person that saw you in sin, that sacrificed to pay your debt of sin, and that set you free. Remember those three things. He saw you in sin. He could see. Notice if you would, in verse number one, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He saw you there. And then he sacrificed to save you. You'll notice if you would, in this passage, you'll see it down in verse number 8, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Jesus Christ paid your debt. It was a sacrifice. It cost him everything. Remember that. And then he set you free. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So when he saved you, he remade you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What? Well, notice verse 10, you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You've got a brand new heart. and your sins have been washed away. And now, he says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he says, look, wherefore, remember. Remember that. Remember there was a time when you were without hope and dead in this world. Remember that Jesus saw you, he sacrificed for you, and he set you free. Don't forget that. All of us today, we've got to remember that. This Labor Day, this Memorial Day weekend, take a little time tomorrow and get up early and say, Lord, I just wanted to say thank you. If you live with a military personnel, take a little time to say thank you. If you still live with your mom or dad, tell them thank you for the sacrifice. But then I'm reminded that you can have this Jesus Christ yourself. He can set you free. How? Notice, if you would, in verse number 13, Ephesians. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, by his sacrifice. Notice verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made, watch this, both one, us and the Lord, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us. The rich man in hell was told by Abraham, he said, there's a great gulf fixed. Here it is. It's a great wall. He said, and Jesus Christ broke it down. In the Old Testament, there was a curtain, a veil between the God of heaven and the children of Israel. It was a great veil. And when Jesus died and said, it is finished, and bowed his head, the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, signifying the wall is gone, signifying the veil is ripped. Now you have access to God. And then signifying, hey, I want you to understand, there is nothing between you. The great gulf has been bridged. Well, you receive it. So to everybody in this room this morning, if you've never, you remember back, there's never been a time when you've trusted Christ as Savior. You can't find the place. You can't find the date. Now listen very carefully. Let me just take just a minute. Well, Scott, where were you born? What city? He's born in Florida. How did you know that? Parents told you. Okay, let me see here. Brother Brandon, tell me where you were born. Washington, D.C. That's what's wrong with Brother Brandon. That's what it is. Born in Washington, D.C. Now, you know what? How do you know that? Mom and Dad told me. Birth certificate. Got it there. Do you understand that getting saved is not like that? You can only get saved when you personally, Andrew, Philip, when you personally meet with the Lord. And if you personally meet with the Lord, I would assume that the majority of times you're going to remember that. And it may be in a bedroom, it may be in a car. Jeremy was saved on the way up here in the moving van because his mother led him to Christ. So you would remember the location where you were saved. You may not remember the date. I mean, there's lots of things that happened in my life. I can't remember the date. You could shoot me dead. I couldn't remember the date. I can remember the date of important things. So that being important, I'd remember that. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven if you don't remember it. But in your mind, there ought to be a place where you got down and you said, Lord Jesus, I need to be saved. That ought to be in everybody's mind. If it's important enough for you to get to heaven, if you're burdened enough to ask for forgiveness of all your sin and be born into God's family, then it ought to be important enough for you to remember it. So he says, wherefore remember, he is our peace. Now notice, if you would, I want you to see this. Remember now, remember the people that have been good to you this Memorial Day. Remember the person that's been best to you this Memorial Day. And remember the promises that he's made to you this Memorial Day. Now, I love this part. And I could go on and on and on because he's been so good to us. But I'll just take a few things. Notice, if you would, notice one of the promises that he made in verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. You're no longer someone that lives that has a citizenship that's outside the country. But notice this, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, you were born into his family, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, you've been born in the family of God. Remember, that was his promise. It's done. Hey, he's got a promise to you. You are of the citizenship of heaven. Every time we go on a mission trip and come back, I am so proud to take out my passport and lay it up there. When they come in, they say, oh, Mr. Pittman, welcome home. Oh, man, I want to hear them say that every time. I cannot imagine when I step foot out of this life, I step foot into heaven, and the Lord Jesus says, welcome home, son. Wow. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Remember today, you're a child of God. Remember, you have the name of Jesus Christ in your repertoire, in your name. Now, you're a Christian. You're not on your own. You represent somebody. You have this title deed to the family of God. Wow. You may not look any different, but you are in here. Remember that. Remember what Jesus Christ did for you. He adopted you into his family. He made you his own. I'm reminded that's one of his promises. But notice another promise. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Not only have you been accepted into the family, you also now have access to talk with the God of heaven. You see, we learn in John chapter 9 that God does not hear the prayers of sinners except when they pray for salvation. God does not have to hear any prayer of sinner. Now, let me just say this to you. If Philip or Andrew came to my house and said, Pastor, could you give me a $50 bill? I got a toy I want to go buy. Now, I could look at him and say, well, you know, I have a choice. I could say, you know, you're not mine. Why don't you go back to your mom and dad and let them give you the $50 bill? Or I could just, out of the grace of my good heart, I could take out my wallet. And well, I couldn't do that because I don't have a $50 bill. But if I had one, I could take it out and give them a $50 bill and say, I'd have a $1 bill. I could take it out and give you a $1 bill. And I could say, you could have the $1 bill, but that's out of grace. But the Bible says in John chapter 9 that we know that God heareth not sinners. So God is not obligated to hear anybody's prayer as long as they're outside the family of God. But when you make them, now if my son came downstairs and said, Dad, could I borrow 50? I'd go get it if necessary. Because he's my son. Hey, Dad, could I borrow 10 bucks? I'd give it to him. I really wouldn't think much about it because he's my son. Now, I'm just reminded you have access to the God of heaven. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Notice, I love this passage of what we have as a child of God. We can go straight into the God of heaven. Remember that. Remember that this weekend. Tonight, when you get home beside your bed, kneel down beside your bed and say, Father, and realize Jesus gave you that access. Are you taking advantage of it? Remember, you've been accepted into the family and you have access. Remember that. And remember this. We can avoid the weaknesses of sin. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. That he might reconcile, verse number 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make one in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you that were far off and to them that were nigh. We have this special standing now. And he says, look, I'm going to grant to you the ability now to avoid sin. I'm going to make you where you can strengthen yourself. Look, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his grace to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that ye may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and built, grounded up in love. He said, I'm going to give you the power to walk right in this life. He said, I created you unto good works, and now I'm going to infuse you with the power that you need. I'm going to allow you to avoid the sins of this life, but you have to choose it. But I'm giving you the power to do it. Do you understand today that we all have this flesh? But remember, Jesus Christ has given the ability to avoid the sins of this life if we choose to. Oh, yes, we have access to the Father. We've been accepted into the family, but we can avoid the sins of this life. Folks, I want you to know something. I don't like to be dirty for long. I don't mind getting in a ditch and digging up but I get dirt under my fingernails I don't really mind that so much because I know I can get out and I can get it out from underneath my fingernails and I can step into the shower and wash it all away. But what happens if every sin you got on you stuck and you couldn't get clean? Then I wonder how important avoiding sin would be. Well, the Lord says, I'll forgive you of all your sin, but I'm asking you to avoid sin. And I'm going to give you the power to do it. Before you got saved, your flesh was too strong. But I'm going to give you victory over the flesh. What a privilege. Notice what he says in Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. By his Spirit in the inner man, you having the strength of God in your soul to say, I'm not going to use that word again. I'm not going to be mean anymore. By God's grace, and you may have to memorize scripture, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You may have to confess it a few times and forsake it, but eventually God will give you the victory over it. And then again, he may just give you the victory if you're determined enough. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. That promise is to you and I today. We can live avoiding sin. What a joy that is. Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, if I could work in the yard and labor and not sweat and not get dirty, would that be cool? Well, you can't do that. You're going to get dirty and messed up, but you can get clean. So we have this acceptance into the family. We have this access to the Father of Heaven, and we have the ability to avoid sin. And lastly, I want you to notice, if you would, we have the awards of this life that are in our future. Now, I want you to understand this. We have a future that is so bright. The promises of God cover this life. You can avoid sin. And they cover the next life. You can have awards beyond your wildest dreams. And when I say awards, let's include a few things in there. The award of a home in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I'd have told you, if I go to prepare a place for you, he's going to award you a new home one of these days. Not because you earned it. It's just a blessing of God. But I want to tell you this. He makes us some promises. He said, if you'll do what's right, I promise to be good to you. Take your Bible and turn to James chapter 1 and we'll close. James chapter 1. Notice with me if you would. James chapter 1. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive, here it is, the award of the crown of life. Watch this, which the Lord hath what? Promised to them that love him. So God has made some specific promises to you and I. Some awarding of things after this life. I've got a home in heaven I've prepared for you. That's something I'm going to give to you. I've got all these answers to prayer I want to give to you. But I've also got awards, the five different crowns that you can win. I've got a place that you can, that things you've never even thought of. And I love this. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This pandemic has done some things. I've read about people saying, we've been eating dinner together as a family. We've never done that in years. We've gone on walks together. We haven't been able to do that in years. It's really caused us to really reanalyze some of the things in our life. We've played board games. We've never really done that in years. Well, the Lord says, I want you to understand, there's coming a day when the pandemic of sin has been vaccinated out of this world. It's over. I'm going to come in, and he said, I'm not going to erase the memory of the lost. Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, Lazarus, evil things. Now thou art tormented and he is delivered. I just want to remind you. He said, I will give you memory loss. Revelation 21:4. The former things are passed away. I'll make it where you don't have to remember the things that hurt. That's another of the awards of the Christian life. When we step foot inside heaven of our Heavenly Father. I'm going to make it where you can only remember good things. How many of you would like that? To only remember good things. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Never remember a bad thing. He said, I'm going to remove the bad things from your life. The past will be wiped away. Wow. Remember that. So today when you stood out and said, well, you know, I want to say this to so-and-so because I'm upset with them. Remember. Remember the Lord said, I got a place for you. I've accepted you into my family. I've given you access to me personally. I don't have the access to the President of the United States. I don't even have access to a congressman or senator. I don't even have the access to the mayor of Leesburg. And I've got the access, the promise of the access to the God of heaven. Wow, that ought to change my life. Remember that. Today, remember that you can avoid sin and that would delight the Lord. And he says, I'll award you with crowns and things you've never even dreamed of. So if people never even thought about board games or never even thought about walking together again, it's just something that the pandemic has taken away all that we could do. And we just sat down and said, now what are we going to do? We started doing this. Well, it's not going to be like that in heaven. God says, I've got things prepared for you that you can't even dream of yet. Now, as much as I like to sit down on a Saturday afternoon in December and watch an NFL doubleheader, the playoffs, I mean, getting out my cheese dip and my chips and my drinks, and I sit there and watch the ball game and turn it on, and I get a chance to just relax and soak it in, the Lord Jesus says, oh, that's nothing. Wait till you see what I've prepared for you. You haven't even thought of it. I have not seen nor ear heard things I've prepared for you. So today, could I just remind you of this? Love him. Love him. Remember what he's done for you. Remember the people that have been good to you, the military, medical personnel, your moms and dad. Remember the person who's paid your debt of sin, that loves you more than the world. And for his great mercy, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And remember his promises. He's made you his child of the household of God. He's made access for you into heaven to speak directly to the God of heaven. He's made it where you can avoid sin. Giving the power to say no to sin. What a privilege that is. And he's given you awards in heaven if you'll just love him. Today, let's remember. Take this weekend and remember things that can make an eternal difference. Let's bow forward to prayer. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of eternal blessings for us as we hear the song sung. One of these days, maybe we'll sing these same ones in heaven for all eternity. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts today? Oh, dear Holy Spirit, would you touch every person under the sound of my voice? Lord Jesus, that you would cause them to remember today. Remember the things we ought to. Lord, remember the people that we ought to, but especially the person we ought to. The Lord Jesus Christ, you. Lord Jesus, help us remember what you've done for us and to never get over it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember your promises. We have such a bright future. Lord, we don't deserve it. But every morning we get up, we either have the promise of this life or the promises of the next. Help us to love you. Speak to hearts now, Lord Jesus. Anybody here that's never trusted you as Savior, they've gone back and they remembered back and they can't find the place they got saved. Help them to trust you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.